It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Kane and Bucks.
Can't stop addicted to the shindig.
It's a very good morning to you. A huge show for your Monday morning as we are getting right into the teeth of the AFL season. The Cats are undefeated. Sydney and GWS are absolutely flying. What a weekend of football it was. It was Anzac round, and we've got a big McCafe menu coming up. Geelong star Zach Tui, he kicked a career equaling high 3 goals on the weekend. He was enormous. Tom Morris with all the latest news. No shortage of that. The buck stops here in its regular spot, and your calls on the Mimosa Homes open line, 1300 736 736. In fact, if you're up early, if you want to get something off your chest, we have lines available. You will get straight through. That's it, and you can speak to us. Good morning to you, Coxie, the Collingwood champion. The Brownlow medalist, the Norm Smith medalist, Nathan Buckley is alongside of me. As always, Bucks, good morning.
G'day, Kane. How are you, mate?
I'm great.
I have information overload. That's what I've got.
In what? We've just
got to such a point. Like, so we're 7 rounds in. I'm looking at the games, of course. So we've played Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I know.
Is that the first time we've had like 5 days of AFL football in a row for
COVID,
a round?
COVID. Remember those days? It was footy every day.
We had 20 in a row, didn't we? Actually, a short memory. But no, look, there's a lot to get to, but just so much going on. There always is. The Stars are standing up. Young blokes are coming good. We've got teams are starting to separate themselves. You know, styles of play are becoming more obvious, and I've got a bit of a mea culpa, but obviously the Geelong-Carlton game was exceptional, the way that was played and the result itself. So that's worth unpacking. But, there's so much going on around the sport. Individuals, you know, Stars standing up, coaches in
fiery
strife.
Sprays. There's fire. Sam Mitchell.
How good's that?
I thought it was excellent with Scrimshaw yesterday.
I did love the way that, you know, once again, the way we handle the Anzac Day celebration and how important it is for the country. But went to both Wednesday night and Thursday, and they're great occasions at the MCG. And there's something about the MCG as well. When you fill that out and you do that right, it's pretty special.
Just on that, Lee Matthews on Footy Furnace last night says that, you know, we all love the Anzac round, but it does highlight the inequities of some teams in the competition. You played for the biggest and on the biggest stage in front of big crowds. Do you agree with that, that it does highlight that, you know, we've got some players playing in front of 4,000 in Canberra, and then we've got Collingwood and Essendon playing in front of 93, and Geelong and Carlton playing in front of 87 at the MCG. There are different experiences for different players, isn't there? And he probably makes a good point in that. Do you agree?
Well, absolutely. And I think there was a point made about recruiting to Essendon or Collingwood to say, hey, you're going to be a part of the Anzac Day game. Now, we have put other games in around it, but yeah, I do agree.
Did you use that as a recruiting tool ever when you were coaching?
I'm sure it was used.
Yeah.
I can't recall ever sitting there at the front line trying to say that the Anzac Day experience is going to make the difference, but there's no doubt that was a part of the package that was presented, you know, as part of playing for the football club. But I understand where Lee's coming from, and he's right. There are inequities with it, but I can't you know, I suppose it was good fortune to be able to be a part of either one of those clubs in the last three decades, with Sheeds bringing it to light again, because there has been Anzac Day occasions before or games before. But, you know, it wouldn't be the same if it was GWS and North Melbourne. That's just the reality of the situation. The showdowns are the showdowns, the derbies are the derbies. I mean, there are big games around, and none of Collingwood, Carlton, Essendon, or the bigger Victorian clubs, you know, go and play in those. So that's disequal in some way as well. But you know, I know where, I understand where Lee's coming from, but I don't know if you could do it any differently or any better if you're the league.
Can we have an auction update? Where are we at with the Bucks auction?
Oh, yeah, Kingy wants to know where the referendum shirts got to. I don't think it's received a bid yet, Kingy, so you should be right, mate. Go for it. No, it's on Wednesday, so okay. There's a lot of tie kickers around.
Is there?
But there's, I suppose the club Collingwood and Port Adelaide, keen to secure some of those items. I'm keen for them to secure some of those items. So, but it's in the public forum now. So it's, I'll sit back and have a look.
You've done well. While handling it, I mean, it's a tough one to handle. There's no doubt about that. I think you've done it as well as you possibly could. You got all dressed up on the weekend. I saw it as well.
Yeah, went to a gala fund. It's for, upper intestinal tract cancers, basically. So, pancreatic cancers, which can be one of the most aggressive getting around. So the Hope Fund are a group of surgeons, and I suppose they're investigating how they can better treat these cancers that actually take people really quickly. Mm-hmm. Michael Turner, who played for Geelong and has been just a huge contributor to the Geelong Footy Factory through the Falcons.
The Mickey Turner Footy Factory.
Yeah, done so well. So he was a sufferer of pancreatic cancer, and I think he was diagnosed 14 months ago, and he's since had part of his pancreas out, and I think you have to rip out a fair bit of other tissue to try and protect yourself and guard against it. He's going well at the moment. He dropped 15 kilos real quick. But he's a healthy guy, just about to turn 70, but told his story and told it very well to the room about his challenges and why he's passionate about trying to help this research along as well. So, my partner Brody's a business manager at one of the surgeons at the surgery. So, mate, I went along as a handbag.
Ah, good. You look good. I thought you both scrubbed up pretty well. Alex says there's a bit going on here, lads. Bucks has got the auction, and Kane has bought a 1985 Mazda car, Lemon.
What's the latest in that? Well, Mazdas were a great car choice for a first car.
Well, that's what I thought, but I thought I did all of the right things here. I thought I did all the right things. It was in the family. It had been sitting in the driveway. I went and got it serviced and safety checked, and then when it came out, it just wasn't
when
what
you say
I thought
in the
it
family,
would,
how well, long has it been in the family for?
Well, it was Lucy's mum's car, so they bought it new in 2003. Then that was passed on to Lucy's sister, and she's had it, but she hasn't really driven it because they sort of upgraded the family car. So it was just sat in their driveway, and I thought that'd be a good first car for Ed. And so I've been sitting there and got it, what I thought to be serviced and fixed up, but then got it out, and it's not what I thought it was going to be. So I'm going to have to sort that out. Sitting
so the
in the driveway.
The clutch and the transmission are gone. So what?
Must be.
So your mother-in-law has been riding the clutch hard, doing doughies.
No, it's an automatic, so I don't know. It just wouldn't
park brakies
progress through the gears. So I've got this Lemon sitting in my driveway and trying to work out what we do from there.
Well, my first car was a Datsun 120Y.
Was it?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know what the year was, but I got my hands on it in 1990. Yeah. Mum put it on the open market, tried to sell it for $900. It was sitting out the front of the house, and I don't know how you used to sell cars back in the late 80s.
In the paper.
But, correct. But, no one bought it for $900, so she offered it to me for $500, and I took it. Took it down to Adelaide, and that was my first car.
Go well for you?
I did what every whatever a young bloke would do. I put a $1,200 stereo system in it, so it was worth three times the value of the car, or two and a half times the value of the car. On the way to Birkenhead at 5 o'clock to work at the James Hardy factory, the brakes failed, and I had to replace the master cylinder with $2,000 to replace a master cylinder and a
adding
Datsun.
Up here. Yeah. $500, you've spent $1,500 on the stereo.
Well, that's don't be a cheapskate, Kane.
That's what I did.
It'll cost you money.
Yeah, definitely cost me money. Morning, boys. Can you please ask Kingy why he doesn't like Geelong? You get a lot of that, don't you? Who's the team that you get feedback on that people say,
Bucks, why
don't you like us? Do you get any of that?
Yeah.
I got a couple.
Yeah, it's Carlton a
lot. Is that really?
Yeah, and that's just...
But you like
that's
Carlton?
I do, but that's this old school Carlton Collingwood. So as soon as I'm not positive about Carlton, I'm a Collingwood Carlton hater.
Yeah.
A little bit about Essendon at times, but then again, it's... There's been a fair bit to get down on, although they're going really well at the moment. They're the main two.
Did you get into Liv at all? Like, I'm not a massive golf fan, but what it did to Adelaide was extraordinary. Like, the different crowd that Liv Golf is bringing in to the golf. Like, my boys went on Friday, and the thing that they loved about it is you get so close to the players. Like, yeah, a chat with Phil Mickelson. Like, and he was trying to help Phil find his ball. And he just couldn't. He couldn't.
I thought you were about to say he's trying to help Phil find his swing.
Phil sort of ball went into the bush, and him and his mates are helping Phil look for this ball. Like, it's unbelievable. And then you see the party crowd and the party holes and the younger generation of golf fan that he's bringing in. I don't know if they're golf fans or not, but if anyone was out there that went to Adelaide for Liv or watched it on Channel 7, thought the coverage was excellent, or listened to it with us here on SEN. In fact, let's have a bit of a listen to whispering Nick Del Santo and Miles Fitzner as Cam Smith put the putt in to win the team's event at Liv yesterday.
Two putts to win now.
Feet are set. Putter face square. Cam Smith for Australia. For the Rippers. Eddie's in. Oh! It was in and hopped out after grabbing a big, big corner. But he taps it in anyway.
So Cam Smith for Team Ripper GC in the home event here at the Grange Golf Club in Adelaide. They stood up on the second playoff hole.
Whispering.
That is unbelievable.
Feet are set. Putter face is square.
Putter face is square. But then there's a lot to unpack there. How do you catch the corner of a circular hole?
He caught it early. It was amazing.
Commentator's curse.
Cam Smith doing shoeys, and the players seemed to love it. At the footy on Friday night, there was Liv golfers there. There was sort of a chip at half time. It was amazing. So I did love the relaxed nature of the players and how it did bring in the younger generation. But if you were there, let us know.
I heard Pat Welsh talking about it, like interviewed about it. And I remember his voice is
great voice.
Is the voice of golf as far as I'm concerned. Growing up, like, he was the one that was talking about the shark. He was the one that was on Ian Baker Finch and giving me the information around golf when I was a young fella. So I heard him talking about it. He said he's never seen anything like it. He's never heard anything like it. It's louder. It's there's more going on than he's ever seen before. And he was loving it. So rather than being a fuddy-duddy and looking down his nose and being disappointed about, you know, where's golf has got to, he was super pumped.
It is
about
like Happy Gilmore in a way, like that movie, like so many years ago, and this is what it has turned into is amazing, really. Hey, let's get to Wally, who's in Ferntree Gully. You want to speak about footy supporters, Wal? Good morning.
Morning, fellas. How are we?
Good.
Very well.
I was fortunate enough to get to a couple of games as a neutral supporter, Carlton, Geelong, and then Sydney and Hawthorn yesterday. Just wanted to comment that Geelong and Sydney's transition ball movement is absolutely elite and it's going to be very hard to stop come finals times. But then again, as a Bombers supporter, it's stacking up okay against some of the top of sides, obviously with being played with Collingwood. Just want to grab your thoughts, fellas.
Well, I think, Bucks, you're going to speak about what Geelong are doing with their ball movement in the back. Buck stops, aren't you?
Yeah, I think Geelong, Sydney, which Wally's pointed out really well, GWS are the other ones. Just their transition, you support your defence and then go. Mm. And I think there's a bit of rope-a-dope. You know, there's that run and gun style is excellent to watch, but it comes from a really solid defensive structure. So the sides that are doing that well are going to be bloody hard to beat, and I think we will see tactics evolve as the year goes on. But I think it's really good to watch. It seems really good to watch, and when you see that end to end transition end in a score, and the good sides do it well, I think that's exciting footy. But it could get bogged down at times through winter, but we'll see how that goes.
Johnny wants to know, Bucks, what car did you have when you were on the Gold Coast in 93? A lot of the Brisbane Bears players rolled up with the sports cars, which were black back then.
It escalated quickly for me.
Did it? Yeah. What did you go to?
From a Datsun 120Y to my mum's Mazda 626. And then from the Mazda 626, I went and bought my own. The first car I bought, you know, that I sort of saw and thought, rather than getting it handed down from mum and dad, was a Mazda 626 coupe. It was a two-door, and that was $4,500. It was electric blue. I had personalised number plates. Bucks.
What? Did you really?
Yep. And I thought I was so cool. I was, and it had little 14-inch rims, mags, fats. It had the whole box and dice. I think I even had a spider on my gear stick.
What happened to those plates? So that. Bucks.
Yeah, I don't know. They should be in the auction. I don't know where they are. It did escalate quickly. I ended up, I had a BMW 6 Series CSI. I think it was a 630, I think. So a 3 litre six cylinder, and it rusted out. But I spent money on this. I saw it when I was driving around at Port Adelaide, and I thought, if I make it, I'm going to get that car. Because it was cars. That's status was all about cars back then. Or at least it was for me as a young bloke coming through.
Well, you made it. We'll get to Frank, Michael, and Runga on the Mimosa Homes Open line on the other side of this. We're up and running on SEN Breakfast on your Monday morning. I've got a Netflix show, which I know you're big on, and every now and then you give us a recommendation. I'm watching this show, which is all the rage at the moment, and I don't know if I like it or not. I'm certainly not enjoying it.